Hello, Tucson. This is Kathy Harris here with my co-host,
Aspen Green.
And we're bringing you Broad Perspectives Radio. Broad Perspectives is a program by women, about women, but for everyone. And here we are on September 20th. Our monsoon season has pretty much come and gone with just about no rain. And also the hottest summer in our history, which is not a good combination. So I don't know about you, but I'm going to start doing rain dances every day, hoping for a great fall or winter rainy season. In the meantime, here we are with our virtual show going on every week. Aspen is going to tell you about our guest today.
All righty. The year 2000 marks the 100th anniversary of the passage of the 19th Amendment, guaranteeing and protecting women's constitutional right to vote. In honor of this, we'll be talking about Matilda Jocelyn Gage with Sophia Phelan Gasho Hudson, who has two last names, not two middle names, because her mom didn't change her name for no man. I love that. She was born and raised in Tucson. Her mom was born in Zweibrücken, Germany, and she considers herself half German. She is currently working towards full academic fluency, and to facilitate this, she moved to Berlin for the semester before COVID hit and had to come back. Sophia is currently attending the University of Arizona as a junior with a double major and a double minor, that major in PPEL and history and the minor in German and psychology. She also started an internship with the IRC, the International Rescue Committee, in their Immigration Services Department, where she will help immigrants and any people of non-citizen status with applications for green cards, family, reunification, and the like. She is very passionate about learning about the world around her. And a fact about her she thinks is interesting is that she is both first generation and 13th generation American. Welcome to our show, Sophia.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
We're so glad to have you here. I want to start out with, you have a double major in history and PPEL, and I didn't know, I had to look it up. What does PPEL stand for?
So PPEL stands for Philosophy, Politics, Economics, and Law, and it comes from Oxford University, and they just had PPE. The University of Arizona decided to add law. I live here and I get in-state tuition, so I thought it was perfect because that's exactly what I wanted to study. And then as far as the history double major goes, I started taking a few history classes because I love history, and the history department was so amazing, and the classes were so good that I figured it couldn't be a fluke. And so I decided to make it a double major because the classes were just so good.
So being a double major, and both in your major and minor, does that make you have to stay in school longer?
I went to university high school, so I came in with a bunch of credits. So I came in, I think, with over 40 credits. And so I could have graduated as a sophomore, essentially, because of how many credits I brought in. That's sort of how I was able to make all of this work.
All right. That's pretty amazing. You know, I also wanted to ask you what it meant to be first generation and 13th generation American.
So from my understanding, and I think people have different understanding of this, but first generation is the first children to be born in the United States to immigrant parents. And so my mom being an immigrant, I am the first of her first children born in the United States. And yet my dad on that side, which is what we're going to talk about today, my ancestors on his side, they've been here for a very long time. And so I feel like I get a great duality of perspective in the United States from white immigrant status and also being here for so long that I feel like my roots and ancestors are everywhere that I look.
Well, today we're going to focus on Matilda Jocelyn Gage, who was a 19th century women's suffragist, a Native American rights activist, and an abolitionist, and a free thinker and prolific author, who is described by herself as born with a hatred of oppression. And I hear you are a direct descendant of her.
That's true. So I am a seventh generation from her, and that's really significant because in the Haudenosaunee, or as the English say, Iroquois nations, the seventh generation is what you look towards. Your actions today is what is going to positively affect the seventh generation, as far as my knowledge as a non-Haudenosaunee person. I was actually invited back to go visit her house, and it was made into a museum officially. So I was formally invited as the seventh generation to see that I can vote and all these things that she was heading towards, specifically with that notion in mind.
I love what she said, being born with a hatred of oppression. I mean, I wish we were all born with a hatred of oppression, right? Tell us what you have learned about her character.
In my family, there wasn't always so much known about her just because she was written out of history. I always knew her as someone who was really ahead of her time. And I actually have a quote from Gloria Steinem, and she says Matilda Joslyn Gage was the woman ahead of the women ahead of their time. So she's very radical, and I would say still technically radical today.
What can you tell us about her life? And you just mentioned it, but were there any stories that were passed down in your family?
Well, a big one, because some of my family is also from Tennessee, is that she was a huge abolitionist. And while she was pregnant and already had children living in her house, she was part of the Underground Railroad, like her father before her. That was always really significant to me, with coming also ancestors from Tennessee, slavery. I had someone else in my history to look up towards as far as abolition and making sure that people are free as they should be.
Yeah, her father was a liberal thinker, and whose home was a station for the Underground Railroad. And she faced charges for her actions associated with the Underground Railroad. Can you tell us about that?
So she actually was one of the only people who signed a petition in Fayetteville in New York that said she would actively resist the Fugitive Slave Act and that she would harbor slaves. To sign this petition meant that she was actively saying that she would pay thousands of dollars. I think it was $1,000 then. With inflation now, it would be like $23,000 and 6 months in jail. She actually did harbor enslaved people to help them get out and was accused of doing that.
Okay. Matilda Joslyn Gage, Susan B. Anthony, and Elizabeth Cady Stanton, at the time they were members at the National Women Suffrage Association, wrote and edited the first three volumes of the history of women's suffrage. Is this still the major source of information for the suffrage movement?
Well, I think it's been greatly expanded. And also, as history goes, you have secondary sources upon secondary sources analyzing everything. And so I think that, of course, it's a major work in suffragist history that people look towards. But I would say that multiple people writing about it has taken it primary source knowledge over just the books itself.
And the National Women's Suffrage Association, co-founded by these three ladies, was primarily involved with the single goal of gaining the vote. It eventually merged with the conservative wing of the suffrage movement, the American Suffrage Association, which Gage and Anthony opposed. What divided the women at this time?
Well, I think primarily, I know that the more conservative one was very Christian and very concerned with drinking and that movement. And they were also fairly classist and racist, considering their aggressive Christian roots. I know Gage specifically pretty much rejected the murder and left after it happened because she decidedly thought, and I very much agree with her, that she didn't want to become part of a racist organization that only wanted freedom for white women and no one else, or suffrage for white women against black and brown people. And so she essentially left after that.
You know, can you see yourself in her? I kind of get a feeling like you and Gage are a little bit alike.
I appreciate that notion, because I think she is one of the most intelligent and radical thinkers. And being someone who's studying politics and philosophy, you read a lot of old white men who were considered themselves radical, and to me are not very radical. And so to have someone actually in my history who was extremely radical and would be considered radical today is a huge compliment for me. So thank you.
You're very welcome. In 1872, Susan B. Anthony goes on trial in Rochester for voting. Gage is the one suffragist who stays behind with Anthony throughout the proceedings and speaks beforehand throughout the surrounding countryside. Do you remember what the outcome of this trial was?
Yeah, so I did extra research on this because I was so angry about it because the judge basically decided that there was enough evidence to show that she had voted, and she insisted that she had voted, that they didn't need a jury. And so it wasn't a jury of your peers. There was essentially no trial. She was just found guilty and fined $100 and was not allowed to speak for herself. So Gage was able to speak for her and was the only one, like you said, that was there. And you can read her whole speech online. And it's very long, but really interesting. She brings up, obviously, a lot of good points about oppression and that women are taxed and should be able to vote. Susan B. Anthony refuses to pay the $100, but is still found guilty.
Oh, she refused to pay it. Okay, of course. You know, I've looked up a lot of the different speeches that Gage gave, and they were all pretty long and comprehensive. Why is Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton more famous? And I'll be honest with you, I was very familiar with their names and not as familiar with Gage's name. These three ladies work together. I read some articles that she's not even mentioned. Who wrote Matilda Jocelyn Gage out of history and why?
So from my knowledge of this, and I am not an expert in this area, I believe it was the women that came after her. They essentially thought of her as an embarrassment because she created another organization after the merger and left and essentially called them racist and classist and said that Christianity is oppressing women and they're continuing to oppress themselves, which I agree with. And I would say a lot of modern women would agree with, but she was written out of history because the rest of the women in that association did not agree with her at the time.
How do we know about Matilda today? Who's responsible for that?
Primarily, I believe, and at least in my life, is Dr. Sally Rose Wagner. She's the primary person who started the foundation and created her home to be part of a museum about suffrage history. And so I think she's the primary person that has brought Matilda back to the forefront of history and acknowledged her radical beginnings.
Well, thanks for giving a shout out to her. Tell us about the Women's National Liberal Union, which is the group that she established in 1890. Tell us about how this group was different than the others.
It wasn't just for suffrage. It was for a broadening of women's rights and for ideology and education, essentially, about how women have been oppressed and in the multiple different areas, not just in the ballot, that they have been oppressed. And it also includes not just white women. That was a very specific goal for her. So I would consider it the antithesis to the conservative merger that happened, in that they only had one goal and they would essentially not let anyone else come along with them in their achievement of that one goal to vote. And she said that I'm for the opposite. It doesn't matter how long it takes us to get there, that we should all get there together instead of just as white women.
Okay. In her book, published in 1893, Women, Church, and State, her view was that the established churches were a major support of male supremacist teaching. These are issues we still deal with today. When I read that, I was like, wow, is that about today? Is this book still relevant?
I would completely say so. It's a big book, and it's very comprehensive, like you were saying about her speeches. So I have, unfortunately, not been able to read the whole thing. I have definitely skimmed the whole thing, and I'm beginning or continuing my process of reading everything very detailed. And I think it's extremely relevant towards now. Of course, there are certain things that seem very antiquated because of her time period, things that she was dealing with that we aren't necessarily dealing with now. But the ideology that she was pushing for still, I think, is not essentially accepted by most of the people in the United States. And that, I think, is extremely important, that you see someone from the 1860s during the Civil War writing about abolition and women's rights in the exact same way that we think about them today, essentially.
I think it's time for a music break, and we'll come back afterwards and talk more about some of the things that Gage was doing at that time. How about that, Kathy?
I think that's a great idea, but I just have to say, Sophia, this is so fascinating. I've never heard of this woman, and to hear why she was written out of history, it's just incredible to me. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about this. But it is time for a music break, and you have chosen a song which also excites me so much because Nina Simone is one of my favorite singers of all time. You have chosen her song, Trouble in Mind. Do you want to tell us why you chose that song?
Yes. So I think it came into my mind right away as soon as you asked me. And it's specifically her live version, which I think is really important for Nina Simone. Her live audience and live interaction is just incredible. That specific song, I think, is less about collective rise against oppression and awareness, more individually. And that's what I see as the main issue today, that individuality and making sure you as an individual are working towards liberation and freedom of people, of all people, is extremely important. So that's why I thought of this song.
It's a great song, and Nina was good at pushing those values herself. So let's give a listen to Trouble in Mind by Nina Simone.
Trouble in mind, I'm blue, but I won't be blue always, 'cause the sun's gonna shine in my back door someday.
91.3 KXCI Tucson. This is Aspen Green here with my co-host, Kathy Harris. And we have a wonderful guest with us today, Sophia Phelan Gasho Hudson. And we are talking about Matilda Dosslyn Gage. Let's start out with another story about her. I love that Gage protested and spoke at the unveiling of the Statue of Liberty, citing it was the greatest hypocrisy because not a single woman had liberty. She did quite a bit of public speaking, didn't she?
She did quite a bit. And as we were talking about before, it's very long and very comprehensive. She really upholds her arguments and knows how to cite her points. And I think specifically with this scenario, I mean, it is a huge hypocrisy. It's something I hadn't even thought of as the Statue of Liberty. And to think about that, and how many people, when the Statue of Liberty was given to us by France, and we almost rejected it, I believe. We almost didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
It's just kind of insane to me that that was, it's such a big part of our history. People look up to the Statue of Liberty as the, you know, the freedom in America. And when it was given to us, most people couldn't vote. People were still essentially in slavery. We're still being arrested for nothing, not allowed to vote, and not considered equal. So yeah, I think she's has her buck on the money.
You know, when I was in school, this was not in the history books. I wonder if it is nowadays. I mean, have they changed any of that? Do you know? Are we learning about these things in history?
I went to university high school, and our American history was considered really comprehensive and didn't include any of this. I would not have considered it a very progressive teaching at all, even though I was taught by a woman as well. And I really enjoyed the class, but I don't think it's very comprehensive as far as feminist and abolitionist history.
She also exposed sex trafficking and sexual abuse of women and children by priests over 100 years ago, and offered her home to people escaping slavery, as we talked about before. In some ways, things have not changed in today's society. How do you see it?
I know human trafficking is a huge issue, as well as sexual trafficking. There are people in slavery today. I mean, millions of people are in slavery. And the fact that her ideas from so long ago apply directly towards ideas now, and that human trafficking and sex trafficking exists on a fairly wide scale in the United States, is incredibly sad, and also shows our need for continued reform and ideas.
And this is like 100 years later.
Yeah.
So I guess in some ways we've changed a great deal, and in other ways we haven't, that's for sure. Like the suffragists of the last century, women today have taken to the streets in large numbers and from more diverse backgrounds than ever before. What can activists today learn from the women's suffrage movement?
Well, I think specifically with what we're talking about, learning the actual history of the movement and knowing that later it gets more racist and more conservative and more Christian and more exclusive. So only women that had the time, meaning that they didn't have to work, would be allowed to join and would even be considered worthy enough to join. And how backward that is in and of itself. And I believe that if you're fighting against oppression and you decide to go about that way by oppressing other people, you are a part of the problem and not the solution.
Absolutely. We have 6 women announced their candidacies for president earlier this year. If Kamala Harris wins and becomes vice president, it would be an ideal way to celebrate the centennial of women's suffrage. Do you think we have come a long way? It seems to me we still have a long way to go as well.
I think it's really important how many women there were. And we know now that Kamala Harris was chosen for vice president. And from my perspective, I see Biden and Kamala Harris as having fairly similar political ideas and ideology. And I would just rather they switched. I would rather she become president and he be vice president, but that's not the way the world works.
Yeah, I think he did the vice president thing already.
I think when you look at the 2016 election, I think it's pretty obvious to see we have a long way to go from now with how Hillary Clinton was treated during her candidacy.
Well, you're actually a very fascinating young lady yourself, and I just want to learn a little bit more about you. What do you see yourself doing after you graduate? Do you have a plan yet? I think you're going to be somebody that we're going to have to watch.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I sure hope so. I'm watching myself, to be honest, because I have no idea. I've been talking with people, with professors in my major and people in my life in the academic field. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to go to graduate school or law school, but I know I want to further my education, become a PhD. I think I probably will study in Germany since it's free. I love international law and protecting small countries from organizations that essentially take their money or allow the American corporations to come in and do whatever they want with their land. So that's something that's really important to me. So I might become involved with the UN or something like that.
Okay. I had a cousin who worked at the UN for many, many years, and she loves it. She actually goes back and volunteers after she retired. Well, it was so wonderful to have you on today and to enlighten us about a woman that actually should be very much part in the history books, Matilda Joslyn Gage. And if you ever have anybody else that you want to come back and talk to us about, please contact us. We'd love to have you back on.
Thank you so much.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. Sophia, I also want to thank you so much and tell you again what a fascinating story this is. And I'm kind of hoping in your future you'll be instrumental in changing the history book so that we learn the real story of what happened back then.
Thank you.
So thank you very much. And thanks to all of you out there for listening to us. Please join us every Sunday at 3 o'clock for Broad Perspectives Radio, a program by women, about women, but for everyone. And now stay tuned because next up we have Amanda Shauger with 30 Minutes. Have a great Sunday.
We are going to go out with Standing on the Shoulders by Joyce J. Ruse, also known as Earth Mama.
I am standing on the shoulders of the ones who came before me. I am stronger for their courage. I am wiser for their words.